Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. God is so good to us. I love Him, and He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I thank Him for all that He's doing in all of us who love Him. And I love the way the Lord puts things together. And I love the way that he helps us to, he gives us each other to help each other. I thank God for all the people that He put in the path of my life. That was a blessing to me. And you know, the older I get, the more I see what a blessing they really were. And the enemy would try to do things to divide us in his sort of ways. But I think of all the pastors that I knew in the past, that was a blessing. And I think about how Elder Lewis, he left a good job to do full-time ministry and came down here to Birmingham. And he was a blessing, I tell you. You know, you don't think about the sacrifice people make. You know, they did the sacrifice, but it was their faith that caused them to do that, to take the jump. And we need people like that. I think about my pastor. He had a good job. And he left his job, moved to Oklahoma, and became went to Raymond, moved his family. And he got a job when he got there. Now, that's faith to me. I mean, I love people like that. People that love God's people enough to do something. You know, that'll never be forgotten in the mind of God. God knows us. He what we're capable of is off the charts. And I would love to see people trust God more. Because God will take a person of faith and cause them to do even greater things that's beyond. when we follow what Jesus said, He said, learn of me. He was looking at what He can do in our lives if we learn of Him. A lot of times we don't trust Him right because we don't learn His ways. And then the enemy takes advantage of what we don't know. So when you follow God, He's going to prepare you for whatever's next. He's going to prepare you for the next stage. And once He does, you'll know it because He'll begin to deal with you differently. And He'll have you to do something that's necessary that you're not used to. And most people don't follow through because it's an unknown. But the people that trust God can take that jump. And they're going to be fine because they're already skilled at using faith. They just don't know they're going to be fine. They don't know what to expect. That's why people don't, they follow God in ways that they understand. And the Lord had me to, you know, He took me back to Judges chapter 10. And He took me there last week, recently anyway. If it wasn't last week, it was recent. And, but this time I saw something different. So, and that's how the Word of God is. You may see something this time, but next time you're going to see something even more, you know. But the Holy Spirit knows what's there, but He knows what we need and the timing and everything. You know, when you follow Him, you're on time. You're doing it at the right time. And today is October the 4th. And I was on jury duty this week. And I went down there just in time for them to tell me that they had enough jurors. So I'm excused and I'm glad because I got so much to do this week. I thank God for ordering my steps. You know, thank God for that. Okay. Judges chapter 10. And after Abimelech, now he was Gideon's son that killed the other ones. You know about him from chapter 8 and 9. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, and Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. You know, the Lord always knows how to raise up people to help us get to that next stage in our lives. And I thank God for everybody that he put in my path. See, some of the things that I do is I'm standing on their shoulders because they were faithful. I saw them be faithful. I heard their testimonies. I believe their testimonies. And then I'm able to, it encourages me to do what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord put me in your path. So use the knowledge that God is relaying, because guess what? Eventually, the prophets die out. We don't live forever in this state. We transfer and we pass on. We go to the we're gonna go to be with Jesus one day. Now I don't believe I'm gonna die. I believe I'm gonna be raptured. I believe it's so close that this generation will be raptured. That's what I believe. And the Lord keep telling me that his return is imminent. So I'm motivated to make every day count. Because as we obey God and yield to him, we can bear fruit and people will see the fruit and receive it. And from there, they can live forever like us. And I want to make every day count. And see, remember, it's not, you don't need your strength, you need his. And the more people realize that, the better they can do. Your prayers avail much. The Lord, you know, serving God, you probably won't lift 100 pounds as you serve God. When you defeat Satan, you're going to speak words of faith. When you stop storms and when you stop the works of darkness, you're going to speak words in faith. And God needs you here to do that. When you minister to people, you speak words of faith. And the work of the ministry, you know, the counsel that you give people, everything that you do serves God. And then the servile work, like cleaning up the church and things like that. When people serve God, that puts spiritual wealth on your life. But the work of the spiritual side, it's not as physical as it is spiritual. You're going to speak words of life. And I thank God for it. Now, you may have to travel. You may have to drive. God's going to take care of whatever needs you have to get you where you need to be to speak words of faith and pray for people and lay hands on people. Now, I thank God for all of these wonderful things. And see, when you daily live the life of God by faith, when you live with the joy of the Lord and peace, you're helping people see. You're securing the next generation. And you're helping up the whole body advance. Every time one person do something of God, it helps us all. It's the works of love that holds evil back. That's true. The Lord told Abraham, if there was 10 righteous men, he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the power we have. And that was a very wicked city to the point that God had to burn it with fire. Now, so all the works of old is still working. See, spiritual works and spirit and messages from God don't die. They continue forward. It's a, you know, the Lord gave me living letters, living letter ministries. I wrote living letters. So sometimes people find them. I wrote them years ago, decades ago, and it's relevant for what they're going through right then. Because it's a living letter. And so is every work of God. It's still alive. Now, as we proceed forward, we make the whole body, the more connected we are to the vine, the more effective we are. See, you don't have to be effective. You have to get a good hold on Jesus. When you watch him and do what he say, you help people proceed forward, and God always raise up people to lead his people to the next level. Now, in Judges 10, God rose up Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. Now, God has given, he's showing you that he rose up Tola. But Tola didn't raise himself. He was the son of Pua. Pua didn't raise himself. The son of Dodo, a wise man that raised his son correctly and pointed out the facts of God. And he was of the tribe of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. So his neighborhood was Shamar. Shamar. You can highly suspect that that was a godly region of people. See, generations, where do we come from? That's who that we become. We grow from glory to glory because of where we come from. And the Lord is pointing this out. He could have just said, Tola, the son of Pua, man of Issachar, but he included his father and his grandfather because they helped shape his life. God raised up people for such a time as his and ours. He does that all the time. Okay. He judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamar. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. Here it didn't mention his father and his grandfather and all, but God rose, he rose up man of Gilead. He was a Gileadite and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. Now, if you're Jewish, forgive me for my terrible pronunciation of these wonderful words. Okay, and Jair died and was buried in Camel. Now, watch this. The enemy saw, here's a man. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities. Now, his sons were seemed to be very obedient to be over the 30 cities and carry out the will of their father. He had to be an awesome father. And but just like always, men of God don't live forever on earth. We go on to be with the Lord. Now, the enemy saw something strong going on. Gideon had overcome his best soldiers on earth through Gideon. And it was such a terrible defeat, and he did it with a very small army. It embarrassed Satan to the core. Gideon took 300 men and defeated thousands because God was with him. Now, Satan is still trying to take over heaven. But he see this miserable defeat embarrassed him bad. Then God rose up people that took him into another generation. 23 years, then 22 years. That's 48 years. And the people are stable. So the enemy, he launched a terrible campaign against him. Israel. Now watch this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now this is what I saw today. And they served Balaam, Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. Now let's go back and count them. They served Balaam, Ashtaroth, that's the gods of Syria, that's one nation. The gods of Zidon, that's two nations. The gods of Moab, that's three nations. The gods of Ammon, That's four nations. The gods of the Philistine, that's five nations. Satan threw everything he had at him. And then the Israelites forsook the Lord and served him not. Satan thought he had him. He launched everything he had. When the people of God go forward in might, Satan, in his satanic mind, I got to stop this. What will work? He got the influence, the surrounding influence, and drove them to it. The people, that's why it's so important for us to hold on to the living love of God and learn of him while we can. Israel was always learning of God after they got in deep trouble. So a lot of Christians today, God is the one that gets us out of trouble. That's how people know him. He's the one that saved me so I don't go to hell. He's the one that I look to after I make a mess of my life. He's the one that helped me get off alcohol. He's the one that helped me get off drugs. He's the one that helped me put my marriage back together. He's the one that helped me get my children corrected. He's the one that helped me when I got cancer. Now, I'm pointing something out. When you look back, why didn't Israel just say, look, let's seek the Lord while our times are good? Why not relate to God? Why not learn who he is? See, you can't trust a person that you don't know. But they knew him as a savior. And so many times people present God as a savior only, but not as a friend. They present him as the one that gets you out of trouble, but not as a strategist. Most Christians don't read the Proverbs to do them as a way of life. They read things like that after they've gotten in a world of trouble. They don't know God as a strategist. They don't spend time with their Father. Now they might worship and praise him, but eventually you got to take time and get to know him. Jesus said, learn of me. The wisest men I know, they took time to learn of him. You know, you can learn an aspect of God. You can learn faith. You can learn patience. You can learn. I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people. And that helped me in so many ways. I was able to walk in much greater measures of peace and joy. And I longed to do his will. But I wanted to know him. And I asked him questions. And I learned that he's a strategist. He's a father. He's a friend. And the Lord told me something. He said, you know, he pointed that out to me years ago, that a lot of people, they get to know him through their circumstances. They cry out and they get to know that aspect of him. But he said, when things are going good, that's the best time to learn from me. You don't have to wait until you get in trouble. When I study the Word of God, I keep seeing this same pattern. A generation would get in deep trouble, almost lose their nation that God gave them, almost lose their land, almost lose their freedom, and sometimes they did lose their freedom. The Philistine had them so subdued, by the time they asked for a king, they couldn't even make their own weapons. So they had to go to the Philistines' land, to Palestine, to get things to dig with, because they didn't let them make swords. They didn't want them making swords. So King Saul had his hands full when he first became king. And, you know, the Jews knew how to make swords because they were slaves in Egypt for so many years. They're some of the most skilled craftsmen on earth. I wish they made cars. I'd love to see what they would do if they made cars. Now, anyway, being a mechanic, you know, that part come out. But see, this is the thing. God loves us, and he gives us what we need. He's the strategist. If we learn his ways, there are so many things we can learn. If we follow him and ask questions. Now, one thing I want to change in my generation is to get people to start asking questions. The generation ahead of me, they didn't ask, but they were taught not to ask God questions. I remember when they downplayed how God would relate to you and give you insight and wisdom. They would relay it, but they wouldn't say they got it from God. They'd point things out. That was just the way of the culture. But that was also a problem, because when the Lord would lead people, they knew that God gave them something, but they were set up for people to vote on it. Now, I watched my father in ministry. You know, you got the deacons, you got, you know, they have to vote on things, and the Lord would give him messages, and he preach it, and people would, they'd shout like they do at a Pentecostal church. And they would agree with it. Looking back on it, I understood, but I didn't know that God was guiding him that way. Because he didn't say it. He just preached the word. But this is the thing. This is why I bring that up. There's a way of culture, and then there's God's way. Satan is going to take advantage of anything he possibly can once he figure it out. And he's not perfect. But he's just smarter than us. He looks good, and he can make himself look good in our eyes. But God sees straight through him. And people who love God see straight through him too. Satan launched everything he had. When you study verse 6, we kind of slow down and slow and steady. The Lord showed me he threw everything he had. Balaam, Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon. And they had a lot of trouble with the Ammonites and the gods of the Philistines too. So, after Jair died, he probably started with the young people that didn't know God well. The people of a lot of people, if that was what, 48 years later. So a lot of people that lived under the oppression of the Ammonites before the War of Gideon, they were older people now, and they began to die out. This is why young people and old people need to communicate, so that they don't make the same mistakes. When people make wrong decisions, that's not the first thing they want to talk about. How they parted and how they did things. But they set a pattern for the younger generation. And when I look back at life, how God put me in a position to see, I would hear conversations while I was working on cars at people's houses. People don't talk about how they committed adultery or how they got drunk, how they failed. People don't talk about their failures. But they talk about what they like. You just have to put the connect, you know, the Holy Spirit help me connect the dots. When people talk about their past and their life, they may mention things that was fun to them, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. But you see where they ended up. And they don't want their children to make the same mistakes. So they present to them children, to their children, a way of life. People present how they want to be known. Not the low down dirty stuff that they did that shaped the way they think. So the enemy had a lot to work with. He had curious young people that were the seed and offspring of people that were once idolaters. And by the time they were just trying to have a good time and be friendly with the world. And then while they were not aware of what the world was actually doing to them, they made choices and the enemy took control. See, your sin gives Satan control over you. And it takes a long time to realize that the illusion is that you're in control. But that's just an illusion. Any sin causes you to be Satan's slave, like we pointed out in the last broadcast from last Friday. See, people follow the Antichrist for their own personal reasons. You know, I've seen people that lie. They lie. They don't even have to. They can't control it. People that start stealing, they steal when they get an opportunity. They may not even want what they're stealing, but they have no control. Same thing with fear. And when it's time to serve God, their sin gets in the way. And it shapes the way they think. And it keeps them from receiving the word of God that will make them strong. You have to have a strong love for God to break through. And you need anointed people to help you break through. You need to see people living in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God so that you'll have hope for this life, so you can break through. And once you break through, now it's time to go on and learn of the Lord. Because the storm's not really over. If you have any attachment, Satan's going to use it to control your life. Now, the word of God, the word that we receive, people say, I studied the word of God. That don't mean anything. Did you receive it? The Holy Spirit, he can only work with the word of God that you receive. He can't give you understanding if you've rejected the word. He has to use what you did receive, and then he'll help you begin a healing process with what you received. And it's up to you to receive more. And the more you receive, the more he has to work with. So that's why some Christians, they do well in one aspect of life because they trusted God in that aspect of life. But they didn't go on to know the Lord, and the enemy will use what they don't know against them, just like he did in this generation. While he was setting them up, if you'll fall for crazy Balaam and Ashtaroth, the door is open for him to flood you with the gods of Syria and Zidon and Moab, Ammon, Philistines, to the point that you forsake the Lord altogether. And that's what he did to the Laodicean church. See, they wanted, it goes right back to what Paul said to Timothy. You know, we don't have to be set up for the kill. When if the enemy's talking, he's lying. If he's thinking, he's trying, he's getting ready to lie. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, today, out of season, when it's not convenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Lukewarm people search out lukewarm preachers, and when they find one, they'll do anything. They love their own will is first. They don't know God as a strategist. They don't know God in many ways, and they've forgotten who he was. They're following after another version of Christ of their own making. And they find preachers that with itching ears to teach what they want to hear. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, just like the Israelites in the days after Jair died. And Satan's going to bombard them with all these evils and that they receive. See, once you consider it normal, then the next generation is going to be worse, because leaven begets leaven. You have to drive out leaven. Insincerity must be driven out and replaced with sincerity in order for you to get off this planet alive. See, just because things are going good don't mean anything. You have to have a heart that loves God only and hates darkness. I hate every form of Satan. I hate every presentation of Satan. I hate every lie he speaks. I hate all of his ways, all of his illusion, the way that he falsely portrays women. I hate that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Some men will say, well, how can you hate the lust of the flesh? Because it is evil. It is not of God. It has nothing to do with the love of God. Lust and love is two different things. And in fact, the Lord taught me, if you can't lust after people you love. And you don't have to lust after anybody. That's an illusion. That's something that Satan sold them. To be a real man of God, you do it Jesus' way. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after, that's committing adultery in your heart. So that's something to be aware of and reject. And the Lord, see, you don't have to do it in your strength. If you try to do it in your strength, you'll fail. Especially if you got the mind of Satan. But if you have the mind of Christ, you can use his strength and destroy and drive out all evil thoughts and opinions. They can be driven out. I asked the Lord, how do you do it? I didn't know how to do it, but he knows how to do it. See, I know God as my friend, and he's my Savior. So knowing him as a Savior, he showed me what he knows how to do. If Jesus said that looking at a woman to lust after is the same as adultery, it's a way to fix it. And you do things God's way. See, these things are important. Consider these things, because the ways of God are so much better. We just got to learn of him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time.